Morning, everyone. There's one thing that my friend here to the left always tells me when there's some kind of conflict or trouble, and she says, leave it at the foot of the cross, and you don't take it back up. We're in a world of uncertainty right now, but what greater place to be than at the feet of Jesus? This is an old hymn, one that God laid on my heart, and I hope that you will be able to get a message from it.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds that little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is almost sinking in despair, and Jesus knows the pain you take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and if you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord.
Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to look at the subject today of the truth about the death of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll begin reading with verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 is where we'll begin. And so I'm going to give you time to get your Bibles, and I'm going to give you time to turn there, and I'm going to pray for you again. Father, we're going to look at your word now, and we're going to ask, Lord, that you speak to us as only you can. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross of Calvary. Let the words be your words. Let us, Lord, hear you. May we see you high and lifted up. Your train filling the temple. You are speaking to us. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, and we begin reading with verse 15. Therefore, he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Because a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Where a will exists, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will is valid only when people die, since it is never in effect while the one who made it is living. That is why even the first covenant was inaugurated with blood. See that? It says the first covenant was inaugurated with blood. Verse 19. For when every command had been proclaimed by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats, along with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and he sprinkled the scroll itself. And the scripture says he sprinkled all the people, verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God has ordained for you. In the same way, he sprinkled the tabernacle and all the articles of worship with blood. Verse 22, that's where we're going to rest today. According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Now notice what it says. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. We're still in our journey. Even though there's a virus, and even though we're separated for a time, we're still on a journey. We're on a journey together, you and I. And this is a journey that we're taking toward the cross. We're taking toward the grave. We're taking toward the resurrection. And I do want to tell you that even in a time such as this, it is good for us to think on Jesus. To think on the fact that Jesus made a sacrifice for us. That Jesus loves us. That Jesus has a gift just for you. May we think on this as we prepare to celebrate that great day of hope. As we prepare to celebrate that great day of joy, as we prepare to celebrate and to enjoy the life that's found only in Jesus Christ. By the way, I do want to say to you, even though we won't be here together on Easter Sunday, we're still going to celebrate Easter Sunday. And I'm going to tell you that we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday when we all get back together again. Because it will be a resurrection from the dead. The death of Jesus was a cruel death. Very cruel. It was an awful experience to die on a Roman cross. The Romans prided themselves in doing it right. They prided themselves in making it a powerful demonstration to all of those who would follow along that same line of thinking that the criminal or the thief was doing. It was one that ended with the most cruel of all death. And Jesus died on that kind of cross for you and for me. That is the way that Jesus died. He submitted himself. He submitted himself to death on the cross. The scriptures tell us that in the garden, he said, "Not my will, God, not my will, Father, but your will be done." And so he submitted himself to that. He bent and he bowed himself and he allowed himself to go into their hands to bring about pain and to bring about sorrow. The Romans crucified Jesus. The Bible says that the law requires that everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Old Testament sacrifices for sin began long before Moses gave the law, before God gave the law through Moses. The Old Testament sacrifices began in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that they had to have a covering for their nakedness. Adam and Eve had to have a covering. And so that's in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, it tells us why they had to have a covering. Because they had sinned and they had rebelled against God's only requirement for them. God had given them everything. God had said, everything's good. He had said, this is all for you. Enjoy it. But there's one thing you're not to do. You're not to touch this tree. You're not to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God had to bring about a covering. And that covering was an act of God's grace. It was an act of God foreshadowing the last sacrifice that would have to take place for sin. And that was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The sacrifice of animals was a covering for sin. And that sacrifice of animals for the covering of sin is the one that continued in the temple even up to AD 70. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was the last offering that was to be made for sin. The scripture says that the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world has come. That's Jesus Christ. And so the death of Jesus is very significant, because his death did not just cover sin. The Old Testament sacrifices covered sin, but Jesus didn't just cover sin. Jesus redeemed man from sin. Because those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who trust in him as their Savior, are redeemed and they're bought and out of sin, because Jesus Christ paid the full price for their sin. He offered God's grace to whoever would believe. Romans chapter 10 verses 8 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What precious promises. Oh, what precious promises. Are you saying amen in your living room? The precious promises are of the Word of God. It is the truth. God's Word is truth, and it speaks to us. His death was the complete and final, once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the world. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It is important for us to remember in remembering the death of Jesus and remembering what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. It's important for us to remember those words that he had there on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a word of forgiveness. Jesus said, forgive them. Forgive them. Jesus forgave them even when they were brought into pain and sorrow and suffering. He said, forgive them, because they have done this and they don't realize why they've done it. Those Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus Christ had no idea what they were doing. And so Jesus said, forgive them. Those disciples or those followers of Jesus that had turned against him and said, crucify him, crucify him. They're the ones that Jesus said, forgive them. To those disciples that had walked away, he said, forgive them. To Peter, he said, forgive them. Remember, there's a word of forgiveness. There's also a word of promise. Jesus said, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's a word of promise. To that thief hanging there on the cross who deserved to die. Who deserved to die for his wrongdoings, for his crimes, for what he had committed. But Jesus Christ said, you will be with me today in paradise. That reminds us that there's a promise for us. Jesus is that promise. Oh, my friend, Jesus is the promise that comes into our situations when there's nothing else that can do it. Jesus says, I take care of you. Jesus is the one who comes down the dusty road. And makes people come back to life. That's Jesus. I've got a promise for you. I better go on, or I'm gonna get bogged down there. Jesus also said a word of comfort. He said there's a word of comfort.
Did we get any of that? Okay. Well, now they can really hear it. Where was I? Yeah. There's a word of comfort. There's a word of comfort. That comfort is when Jesus says, woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple whom he loved, he said, behold thy mother. Whew. Jesus Christ was dying for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ was suffering the greatest pain that any one person could ever, ever endure. He was dealing with such agony. He could not breathe. His lungs were caving in on him, but he was concerned about his mom. Jesus was hurting in his hands and his feet. His side had been opened up. There on the cross, those are the things that had happened. But think about what had happened before that moment. Think about the fact that he had just endured beating, being spit on, but yet he was concerned about the disciple whom he loved. And he wanted to make sure the disciple whom he loved had a mama that would love him. And he wanted to make sure that his mama was taken care of. Such comfort that Jesus gave from the cross of Calvary. He said, there is also a word of separation. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, it was even a separation of God and his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus felt the separation of fellowship that every one of us experiences when we sin. When we are separated from God in our sin, there is pain, there is agony, there is sorrow. You say, Brother Jeff, I don't feel no pain. Let me tell you something. You start thinking about the fact that God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you, and you realize that you do not have eternal hope, and you do not have the eternal promise of eternity. You will fear that moment that you die. And you'll need the comfort that Jesus gives on the cross of Calvary. And you'll understand that Jesus Christ felt that separation for you and for me. He said, I thirst. That's a word of fullness. I say that's a word of fullness because even Jesus Christ endured the fullness of the sin that was brought on the human race. Thirst is something that we just can't handle. I mean, really. We can go a couple of days, maybe. But really, we need water every day. We need something. He said, I thirst. But here's the completion, the word of completion. It is finished. It is finished. Jesus did all of that. According to the law, according to the commandments, Jesus Christ did it all to rescue us. And he finished the race. He laid down his life for us so that we might have entrance, so that we might have access to God the Father. It is finished. There's a word of assurance, though, as well. Jesus said, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. In Christ, we have the hope of eternity. In Christ, we are assured of a precious place with him. Therefore, grace is at the very heart of the Christian faith. And nowhere is it more clearly seen than in the cross of Jesus Christ. It is grace that the Son of God took the flesh of man. It is grace that taught us how to live our life. But it is especially grace that He died for me and He died for you on the cross of Calvary. He took our place. There's five essential truths I want to share with you today. First of all, I want to tell you that the death of Jesus Christ was for His enemies. The death of Jesus Christ was for His enemies. Listen, the Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to die. But God," oh, I love those words, don't you? But God shows His love for us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God's love is different from natural love. God's love is the love that's shown to the utterly unlovable. It is Jesus Christ who died for the ungodly. It is Jesus Christ who died for the sinners. It is Jesus Christ who died for the enemies of God. The enemies of Jesus Christ Himself, He died for them. Jesus Christ died for His enemies. Secondly, the death of Jesus Christ purchased a people. In John chapter 6, verses 36 and 39, it says that if we say that Christ only purchased, it tells us that the death was effective in its purpose. His goal was not just to purchase a possibility of salvation, but His goal was to purchase a people for His own possession. Listen, if we say that Christ only purchased an opportunity of salvation for all, then we have gutted the meaning of the Scriptures. We've gutted the Bible. Because you see, the biblical truth tells us that Jesus Christ didn't purchase a possibility. Jesus purchased a possession. Jesus bought us out of our sin, bought us out of our bondage, bought us out of our rebellion, bought us so that we might come into fellowship with God. He purchased a people. Thirdly, the death of Jesus Christ is on our behalf. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." You see, He was the substitute. He died in your place. He died a death that you deserved. He died because you should have died. But yet He took our place. He took our punishment upon Himself. He took on Himself the punishment that you and I justly deserve. We deserve to die. We're sinners. We're lost. We're undone. We're rebellious. We're unrighteous. But yet He bought us and He gave His life on our behalf so that we might not know the wrath of God. Jesus Himself bore our sins. Fourthly, the death of Jesus Christ defines love. If you need a verse, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 would be a good one. "By this we know love." It's an amazing thing that Jesus Christ would lay down His life for His enemies, that Jesus Christ would lay His life down for the unrighteous, that Jesus would lay His life down for the sinner. It's absolutely beyond our comprehension. But we're reminded, for God so loved the world. We're reminded that even while we were in our sins, Christ died. We're reminded that by this, we know love. By looking at Jesus Christ and the fact that He laid down His life for us, we know love. By Jesus Christ doing what He did, we too are to love. We too are to lay down our life. We too are to make a sacrifice. And so as we minister to others, we're showing the love that God showed us through the cross of Calvary. By our willingness to help another, our brother, we're showing the love of God. You see, His death was an act of love. His substitutionary death is the ultimate example of what love means, of what love looks like. And Jesus calls us, every one of us, me and you, you and you, you. He calls us who belong to Him, who believe in Him, who trusted Him, who are walking with Him. He's called us to love others. And even in this situation that we find ourselves in a time such as this, we need to show the love of Jesus Christ more than ever so that others might see Him, so that they might know Him. So we live the life laying down kind of love. Lastly, the death of Jesus Christ reconciles us to God. It reconciles us to God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Once you were alienated, once you were hostile in your minds." Doesn't that define you, Hunter? Doesn't that define you, Debbie? It defines us. Once you were alienated and once you were hostile in your minds, once you expressed these in your evil actions, but verse 22 says, "But now He has reconciled you," oh my goodness, "but now He has reconciled you by His physical death, through His physical body, through His death, to present you holy, to present you faultless, to present you blameless before Him." Oh my goodness. We've been regenerated. We've been brought into new life. There was a president one time that was made fun of for saying, "I'm a born-again Christian." Well, friend, I want to tell you something. When you're regenerated, you're born again. You've been made into a new life. You have been brought into His presence, and you've been regenerated because you've been justified. It's as if you never sinned. Jesus Christ has given you that wonderful privilege. He's reconciled you to God. That separation is no longer there. We've been brought up into the presence of God. We've been brought up into the presence of Him who loves us, who was willing to send His Son to die on the cross for us to give us eternal life. We now have been regenerated. We've been justified, and now we're being sanctified. I don't know about you, but that's a tough one. That's a hard one. Because you see, that's a process of growing. When you plant a seed in the garden, you probably already done it. If you garden, you probably already got them ready. You're doing it. You're getting it ready. That seed has to go into the ground, covered up. That's darkness. That's burying it. And then that seed in that darkness begins to open up and break it through. Germination begins to take place. Aren't you proud of me, Joel? And that seed begins to show some growth down inside the ground. And then it breaks the soil. And there has to be some pain involved in that. And that small little green sprout begins to reach up into the surface of the soil, breaking it. And then it begins to flourish. And it grows. And it matures. And then it produces fruit. My friend, you and I are going through that same process. We've been regenerated. We've been justified. We are now being sanctified. We are beginning to be changed from glory to glory. He is beginning to grow us. He's beginning to mature us in the faith. He's beginning to bring us toward perfection. No, you're not perfect, but He's bringing you toward perfection because in the death of Jesus Christ, you've been reconciled to God. But here's the great thing. Here's the beautiful thing. Here's the last thing. You will be one day glorified. You will be with Him for all of eternity. You will be made perfect. You will be in your new body. We shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And the trump shall sound, and we shall be raised from the dead into His presence to be made into His likeness. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I just know that I'm going to be in the likeness of God. I'm going to be in my glorified body. I'm going to be in my perfect state. And I'm going to be in that perfect place called heaven. I'm going to be with Him for all of eternity. That, my friends, is glorification. That, my friends, is perfect place. We will be perfect. Now listen. We've all sinned. Every one of us, we've sinned. And I know that hurts some of you for me to tell you that you're a sinner, but you're a sinner. And because of your sin, you deserve judgment. You deserve the wrath of God. But God, but God. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to satisfy that judgment. Jesus Christ came for those who would believe in Him. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Jesus Christ, the one who lived a sinless life. Jesus Christ, the one who loved you so much that He was willing to die for your sins because you're a sinner and because you deserve judgment. God sent His Son, and Jesus was willing to die for you. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the truth of the Word of God. That's the truth and a fact about the death of Christ. Because you see, He took the punishment that you and I deserve. He died in our place. You and I deserve to die. That thief on the cross deserved to die. But Jesus Christ died. And He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But that wasn't the end. The devil thought it was. The Roman soldiers thought it was. The Pharisees and the Sadducees thought it was. I mean, He was gone. He was out of their hair. He was away. They didn't need to worry about Him anymore. But God had another plan. Because you see, 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Jesus Christ rose according to the Word of God. And if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord in your heart, and you truly will be willing to say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, then, my friends, I want you to know you will be saved. You'll be saved from judgment. You will enjoy the benefits of peace with God. And you will spend eternity with God in heaven. So how about it? Where are you? Do you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? I want to say to you, my friend, today's the day. Email me, rbccusa@gmail.com. And all you have to do is say, I want to know more. I'll take care of it from there. And the Holy Spirit will take care of it from there. And God will be glorified from there. Christian friend, tell somebody about Jesus. And listen, let's celebrate His death. And let's celebrate His resurrection. Because He is Lord. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to share. And Lord, I pray that You'll go with us. And that You'll help us to make a difference in the world that we live in. In Your name we pray. Amen. He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain in His hands. He's got the wind and the rain in His hands. He's got the wind and the rain in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the little tiny baby in His hands. He's got the little tiny baby in His hands. He's got the little tiny baby in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. He's got everybody here in His hands. See you next Sunday. God bless you.